if you look at closely, even in Krishna's stories, we always hear and understand Krishna, you know, stole milk and curd and butter. It was not flooding. So we had Indian cows. Indian cows, the native Indian cows, did not give a lot of milk. And it was only in a particular season, you know, certain months of the year where we got milk, and it was not too much of milk. Every cow probably gave 2-3 liters of milk.
Namaste, everybody. Welcome to Cafe Rainy Days. Today, we've got Dr. Gauri Rokkam with us.
Hi, Sujata.
Dr. Gauri Rokkam is a whole food, plant-based, holistic nutritionist with over 30 years of experience. Amongst the qualifications Gauriji has, she's a doctorate in yoga and life sciences from SVSA University. And she was a topper in the master's that she did in food and nutrition. Dr. Rokkam is a personal coach, and she does lots of training courses in the arena of nutrition. She also does a lot of public speaking. And if you looked at her testimonials, you know, miraculous stories of health recovery, of loss of weight, of just feeling healthy and strong and energetic. Gauriji has done her PhD in fresh coconut, and this was the very first recorded study in fresh coconut. So welcome to Cafe Rainy Days, Gauriji.
Thank you so much, Sujata.
So if I can straight jump into your research question, fresh coconut, so what is so special about fresh coconut?
Well, we as Indians have a lot of significance to the coconut itself, and we call it Purnapala. And whatever very important stuff or important thing we need to do, we use coconut. And I come from South India, where we use a lot of fresh coconut, especially in Karnataka, Kerala, and in Karnataka, the Mangalore side. We have coconut and coconut products hugely. But as I grew up, my growing up years, all I heard was coconut is bad, coconut is not good for your heart. And when I started working, I used to get patients who would say, my cardiologist has told me not to use coconut. And it started with my mother-in-law also. My mother-in-law would insist we are not going to use coconut. And I would separately add coconut into my food. And when I was looking at what is it I want to work on, there were a number of things which had contradictions between what I understood as tradition and what I understood from the Western ways of learning nutrition. And I would have loved to work on all of those, but sadly, it takes so much of time and effort. When I was thinking in those lines, this was one of the most important things which I wanted to. And I presented my proposal to many places in Bangalore, the so-called big institutions and hospitals, where they said, what more is there to understand about coconut? We know everything about coconut, right? And I said, there is something which is missing, right? I want to learn, know that. Why is my tradition saying that coconuts are good, coconuts are important, in every aspect we use coconut, but modern medical nutrition says no to coconut? The only yoga research university in the world, the SVSA Yoga University, where I was very connected because I was doing my yoga course. I did my yoga therapy course. And when I took this proposal to the founder chairman there, that he was the chancellor at that time, Dr. Nagendraji, who himself is a product of Indian Institute of Science, Bangalore, and worked at NASA and has a very great grounding to Indian culture and Indian philosophy. He said, this is the work which should be done in this university. And the government of India funded this project. It was awesome doing this work there. And if I have to say the results of it, yes, we proved that coconut was innocent. And coconut is made of, in spite of coconut having saturated fats. That is what was the whole problem. Coconut is full of saturated fats to the extent of 92%. Science understands saturated fats as the culprits, because saturated fats can clog the arteries and veins and start the process of plaque formation. And so this was also pushed under the saturated fat basket. But in spite of being saturated fat to the large extent, it is made up of medium chain fatty acids. A large chunk of the fats in coconut fats are medium chain fats. And these medium chain fats have a different a metabolic pathway in the system, and they don't even enter into the systemic circulation to harm the heart. It has a lot of positive effects on the body and also psyche. So that was wonderful. We worked for 3 months and had two groups of people who ate, one group ate coconut completely, couldn't get any other fats in their food. And the other group ate the groundnut fats, which was already proved that they are beneficial because they had monounsaturated fatty acids. And that's how we proved coconut was innocent. And one of my main papers was published in American College of Nutrition. And when they have accepted it, everybody else accepted it. And I, by the time my papers was published, a lot of work was done all over the world, and they had already started accepting coconut as, yes, it is beneficial. It was wrongly understood and all of that. But I'm glad I was able to work on that.
So what are the few things that are so good about coconut?
Basically, this is what was the problem, that it is bad for heart. So we understood that it was not bad for heart because of the presence of the kind of fatty acids inside this. And also, it is very rich in fiber. Because it is rich in fiber, it gets digested slowly. Whatever you add it into gets digested slowly. And because it gets digested slowly, the blood sugars are released slowly. And so there is no toll on pancreas. A lot of benefit for people with diabetes and also prevention of diabetes. There was weight loss also because it adds satiety naturally. And the amount of food consumed becomes lesser. So we had benefits on obesity also. 10, 12 parameters, we looked at the inflammation. Basically, on all the major lifestyle disorders, we saw a huge benefit.
Wow, wonderful. You know, there are staunch supporters of saying everything that is Indian is good. And then there's staunch supporters who are of the very Western training and mindset who will say everything that's Indian is wrong. So what are those few things that have absolutely benefited just health in general and knowledge from the Western world? And then let's come to the Eastern world as well.
I might sound very harsh, but yes, when it comes to food and lifestyle, it has been really, really bad what comes from the West. The refinement of foods, and buying everything from outside, nothing which is wholesome. So everything is factory made, everything is refined, everything is monoculture. No, everything which is around eating is very, very negative when it comes to health. Sadly, we seem to copy everything which comes from West. And so the whole world is in the pandemic of diseases because of this wrong eating and living habits. Standard American diet, SAD. It's truly sad. There's nothing nice about the Western ways of eating and living is what I would want to say. But the good news is they're waking up. The West is waking up, and a huge revolution is going on when it comes to health and taking care of the health and the food and everything around it. So we are going to copy them very soon. And so it's all set. Well, when it comes to complex systems like food and the human body, all we need to look at is balance and harmony. We cannot use the mechanistic reductionist theories here and break down to its components. We fail there because there's a huge synergy happening between the body and the food and its components. With each of its components, they all work together in synergy, and that is what produces health. And so we cannot use these reductionist theories when it comes to food and body. So what holistic nutrition philosophy says is, once health is an expression of everything together, it could be the body, mind, the pranic level, or the chemical level, or it could be, you know, the psychological level, even the spiritual level. Everything together is what is represented as health. It cannot, one aspect cannot be taken into consideration. And you'll have to look at the whole person as an individual. You cannot break down the body into its organ systems. Similarly, when it comes to food, it has to be the whole of the food, the wholesome food, which has to be considered, not break it down into its components of, protein or carbohydrate or something like that. When you look at the whole body and the whole food is when actually you heal yourself and walk towards health. Mm. This is the whole philosophy of holistic nutrition.
It's completely contradictory to what the West would think of as a nutritionist, because here a nutritionist would definitely concentrate on proteins and fats, and it would be divided into little chunks, unlike your holistic view. Again, conveniently, you have now reminded me of my next question, which is, we're now so reliant on blood tests, urine tests, lab tests, or the doctor telling me your pulse rate is this, that. Without doing all of this, what are those key factors that constitute a healthy mind-body?
Wonderful. Yeah. This is a beautiful question. It is not just the absence of disease which is called health. Even WHO states that in its definition of health. It is just not absence of disease, but how you feel within. That feeling of wellness from within has to come out. And that no lab on earth can test, right? You can never get a body work or blood work done and say you're healthy in these parameters of how you feel within. That feeling of wellness from within has to be there in each individual is the first important aspect. That am I feeling well within? There are so many people who reach me with huge reports of all the work done, which says normal, that magical number of normalcy, they're in the range, but they don't feel well inside. That is very, very important. And of course, as you rightly mentioned, we should feel energetic through the day. You should feel active through the day and should be able to do all the normal day-to-day activities with a lot of enthusiasm without feeling lethargic and lazy and feel, I don't want to do this. You know, whole of the day, this is how your day should go, full of energy. Mm-hmm. And the Nature Cure goes to the extent of mentioning very basic, very simple parameters. It says you should be able to get good sleep. How many of us can claim that I can sleep every single day and I get a good sleep and I wake up fresh, right? This is a very important factor. And then it goes on to say, first thing in the morning, you should be able to eliminate without any problems. Easy elimination. Look at the parameter. It is so beautiful. And who on earth knows about that except me? About my elimination, right? Yeah. And the next one, it goes on to say, you should be able to create keen hunger at every meal time. Is your body able to create that hunger? There are so many people who reach me saying, I don't have appetite. You're messed up your digestive system, the gut, and there is no way of creating hunger. So Nature Cure very clearly points out, are you able to create hunger? Then you're healthy. And then again, it goes on to say, do you have a fit body? When it says fit body, it could be strength, it could be endurance, it could be energy, it could be a lean body. All of this encompasses there. And then it goes on to say cheerful, calm mind, right? This is so very important. So all aspects together, you can call yourself, I'm healthy. These are simple things which we can figure out ourselves. We don't need an expert outside. We don't need a lab outside. If you can look at all of these, if one thing goes wrong and you know you're unhealthy, we don't need again another expert. See where, which habit you're going wrong, eating and living, and correct them. And all the parameters get corrected. This is the simple, beautiful way of assessing yourself and your health.
Health in your own hands.
Yes, absolutely. Yes.
So, again, like we talked about, you get so many WhatsApp messages, YouTube videos, all sorts of bombardment from everywhere saying, oh, you should have so many gallons of water every day, or such and such a fat is so good for you, or whatever, start sprouting everything and eating, or just live on juices. You get all these fads. But what in your opinion, should a good meal, a plate look like?
Well, to answer this question in a very simple and short manner, I would say plant-based food. Even plant-based food can be absolutely wrong. Why? It has to be unrefined. So unrefined plant-based food or whole plant-based food is the answer. Whatever you eat has to be wholesome and should come from the plant. Why? Now, any part of the plant will always have all the nutrients required by the body. That's the magic. That is where the whole concept lies. What are the nutrients required by the body? Basically, it is carbohydrates, proteins, fats, vitamins, minerals, water, and fiber. There is no eighth nutrient required by the body. And every part of the plant, every product of the plant will have all the seven when it is in nature. No, it could be one is more, one is less in each of the parts. That's different. But every part will have all the nutrients. So when you eat such kind of wholesome food, you get everything what the body requires. And that is where health lies. Let me give you an example. Again, because we have spoken about coconut and coconut is my weakness. Let's look at coconut. What nature gives is coconut, right? It has everything. Of course, majorly it has fats, but it has all the seven nutrients I listed. If I make coconut milk out of coconut, I'm just refining that into something else. Here, I've lost almost all the fiber and some of the nutrients. Let me refine it further and make coconut oil out of it. Now, what do I have? All the six nutrients are gone and I have 100% fat now. So every step of refinement, every step I refine, I'm losing some of it and I'm left with, which is refined product, right? So the closer you eat the way the plant gave is what you should be eating. Let me take another example, rice. I get it in the form of paddy, but we cannot eat paddy, right? So it needs to be hulled. After hulling, what do I get? The unpolished rice. That's the right kind of rice to eat, not the refined, polished, shiny, white rice. Yes. There lies the problem. Why? Because the white polished rice has lost fiber and major of the micronutrients and most of the other nutrients. And that is what is not going to give me health. So whenever you eat, whatever the cuisine is, whichever part of the world you belong to, doesn't matter. What dish you're preparing doesn't matter. What recipe you're using does not matter at all. It is so simple. Are you putting all your ingredients as whole as possible, as close as the nature gave you? That is the only thing you have to look at. Do whatever you want and enjoy eating it.
But you know, there's whenever you're cooking, you are to a certain extent processing it in some shape or form. You're either mashing it or slashing it or frying it or boiling it. So keeping that to a minimum is healthy to just carry on eating raw.
You said it. That's it. Wherever possible, whenever possible, eat them raw. Let's say fruits in the evening as snack instead of drinking a cup of coffee and eating some junk. And include a lot of vegetables, some raw, some cooked, as less as cooking, processing happening in all the other three meals. Use them huge amount. And as you rightly said, whatever you're preparing, as less processing as possible. In some of the dishes, you might just steam them and use them. In some of the dishes, maybe you need to grind. In some of the dishes, you might have to saute like that. What minimum possible, do it. Don't buy the factory made foods is the first statement. And rest, whatever happens, even in the kitchen, as less processing as possible.
So keep it as whole as possible. Yeah. So does that even include like even chopping, when you're chopping fruit or whatever? Keeping it bigger chunks and not peeling it. And
yes, absolutely. What you said is very true.
You've got 30 plus years of experience as a nutritionist. How was that? You know, talk us through the journey of how it began and how you landed up where you are doing whatever you're doing now.
Well, when you speak of journey, I should admit that there was nothing planned. You know, today I see children, they have a lot of clarity of what they want to do, how they want to go about it and plan everything probably at 8th standard and 10th standard and all of that. Well, I had no clue. There was no clarity of what I wanted to do. But it just happened in my life, and I'm just thankful for the way the life happened with me. I should say it was wonderful parenting. I had wonderful parents where my father, even though he was a biochemistry professor, his hobbies and interests were drugless healing. And he would learn hundreds of things, experiment hundreds of things. He's almost closer to 90 today, and yet he doesn't stop learning. Anything which is new, he hops into it and learns. And I really, really admire the way his energies and his learning skills are. And I grew up in that environment where every single day, some workshop, some talk, some course is going on in my house, whether I was interested or not, whether I understood or not, it was all probably sinking in without my knowledge. Well, there were so many questions and doubts which my father or what was happening could not logically answer my questions when I was growing up. And I said, okay, I'm going to learn the science of food myself and answer all of these questions for myself, and got into this degree where I learned the basics of food and nutrition, and then went on to do master's in food and nutrition. I stood first, as you rightly said, but I will have to admit that that is where I found myself absolutely confused, because what I had learned was completely different from what I was learning from my textbooks. And I couldn't understand at 21 why two different philosophies of food could be so different and why they could be contradicting each other at different levels, you know?
What the West was saying as against what's happening at home and what we're eating at home.
Yes, just like we were talking about coconut. My textbook said, coconut is not good because it is made up of saturated fats, which we had detailed understanding of what is saturated fats and why they are bad. But my tradition said completely different. Like, for example, Nature Cure says you can live on coconut. You don't even need anything else. That was what very disturbing to me. And I had made a mess of myself, neither here nor there. At least earlier, I knew something. Now, I knew so much more, but I did not know what was right.
Wow.
And that is where my journey started. But that was very beautiful because I was very clear, this is not complete.
Journey started after your master's degree.
Yes, that is where I realized my journey had started long time ago without my understanding and realization. But here is when it struck to me, what I'm learning from the modern medical nutrition, there is something missing. Absolutely wonderful and absolutely necessary to understand food. But there was something missing. There was something which was incomplete. And that is where I understood, okay, it is not, this is right, this is wrong. Blending them together, which is making it complete and meaningful. And this knowledge of mine coming from the traditional philosophies of food like Nature Cure and yogic philosophy of food became handy then. And I could blend wherever I want these two philosophies into the modern medical nutrition. And I feel it makes more sense. And that is where it becomes more healing, able to get that healing with my clients.
Just in this chat, you're imparting so much knowledge that, you know, it would be amazing to attend one of your courses. What do you cover in these nutrition courses that you tend to do? And also, I mean, choose whichever. As a personal coach, you know, what is the sort of stuff that you work with and what do you cover on the course that you do?
Yeah, as I mentioned just now, no, I took almost 25 plus years, you know, understanding, digesting it, assimilating it, experimenting with my own self and my family. And then this 25 plus years of experience with dealing with different clients and helping them, you know, get healthy, healing themselves. So all of this knowledge of learning and so much of unlearning has happened in my life. I just wanted to put all of them together because the concepts, the principles, the facts are very simple. And as you said, they don't change on a daily basis. As the research comes and falls into our lap, it doesn't change. The fundamentals will never change. They were the same. They are the same, and another hundreds of years of research will not change. So that fundamentals I've put together into a very simple small capsule of 25 hours because I don't want anybody else to go through this struggle of 25 years to learn the simple facts about food. So I put all of those learnings and unlearnings, and I teach that on different platforms. Right now I'm doing that on Wellcure platform, which will, I mean, the next course will be coming up in May. And this is what I teach. Everything from these three philosophies, the basic, which anybody would want to adopt into their life to be healthy or to take care of their family's health, or even the health professionals, you know, it could be doctors, nurse, nutritionists, dietitians, or physiotherapists, yoga therapists, anybody working in the space of health can learn this and adopt into their whatever profession they are doing, which makes it more meaningful and complete and help their clients in turn. That is what I do with the course. But when it comes to personal consultation, personal coaching, people who are suffering with different diseases and disorders will reach me, and I help them to change their habits. It is just basically habits. It's the wrong eating, living, and thinking, which creates the disease in us. So I help them help themselves to undo these habits, shift these unhealthy habits of eating, living, and thinking into the right ones, or I should say healthy ones. And just in a few weeks, they're on the path, or they're walking on this path of the right habits, and they'll very soon reach the goal of, you know, reversing their diseases, dropping off their medication, and become completely healthy.
And in so many of your testimonials, there are these, the results are seen pretty quickly. So even within a week, they start saying, I'm feeling more energetic, or my blood pressure's dropped, or whatever. Fairly quick, the turnaround. Yes. In your beginning days, when you started, like you said, at that time, 25 years ago, we definitely were of a very Western mindset. YouTube didn't exist and WhatsApp didn't exist. And so did you see friction?
Absolutely. But when you talk about 25 years, that time, as you rightly said, we didn't catch up with the West so quickly because it took a long time for the information to reach us. Still so much closer to what we were doing back in India with our roots. We were still rooted there. But it is last few years, you say a decade or a little more, is when all this is happening. And we have started understanding in a different way, because nutrition, modern medical nutrition also is becoming huge, and media brings it in a different way. The whole thing for media is marketing. So we don't understand that what is lying under the marketing, right? It is all about making money and nothing else. So what is right for the public? What is wrong for the public? What gives health? What doesn't give health? They are least bother. It is all about making money. So it is very important to understand the right things. It is just last, let's say, two decades where we are getting into this problem. And even within my own community of nutritionists, I stand apart. And I very clearly remember, you know, probably 20 years back when I presented myself with a lot of understanding about how milk products were so dangerous and creating ill health. The whole room laughed at me, ridiculed me.
What products are not good for you, were you saying?
Dairy products. I was talking about the dairy products, and everybody disagreed with me. Not only disagreed with me, they said, useless, you know, kind of. Nobody was ready to listen also. But now we have so much research, and the data is consistent, and it clearly shows what animal products does to us, what dairy products does to us. And now, after 20 years, we are understanding, and science has still not caught up with that, right? Mm. So do we have to do all of this 40 years, 50 years of suffering, the whole of humankind, to reach there? It was not necessary, right?
So I was just about to say, so talking of contradictions again, you know, there's always, and you must find this in every single patient of yours, there's this big contradiction where, as an Indian person, you grow up with dairy, you grow up with a glass of milk, you absolutely put ghee on every single product that you cook. But however, you're saying that's not good for you. So how do you... You know, how does tradition weigh again?
Correct. Very important question you have raised, because we always think that we have had this for thousands of years. Not so. Even when I was growing up, this whole of this milk revolution or the white revolution, where, thanks to Dr. Kurian, came only in the 60s. We didn't have enough milk. Even when I was growing up, it is after 60s when this dairy revolution started. And after that is what is the white flood happening. Otherwise, we were not having this kind of excess milk and milk products. And none of them existed in Indian situation, actually. It is all a myth of what we talk about, Krishna and, you know, milk and all of that. If you look at closely, even in Krishna's stories, we always hear and understand Krishna, you know, stole milk and curd and butter. It was not flooding. So we had Indian cows. Indian cows, the native Indian cows, did not give a lot of milk. And it was only in a particular season, you know, certain months of the year where we got milk, and it was not too much of milk. Every cow probably gave 2-3 liters of milk. So it was not too much at all. Even, I mean, we always remember the last 40, 50 years and we think this is the way it existed. No, it was not.
When you talk about health, how your mind being stable and happy, your mood being happy, constitutes as one of the factors of being healthy. So in your opinion, what are those recommendations that maybe a Dinacharya should have, or what are those important things that you should definitely do every day?
You're right. So as I started as a dietitian or a nutritionist, we call in India, it was all about just food. So make changes in the food and you have to become healthy. Very soon I realized that is just a part of it. Lifestyle plays a huge part. So everything, as you rightly said, Dinacharya, no? Lifestyle adds a lot to it, right from sleeping early. It is not about getting the good amount of sleep. Sleeping early, because you have to sync with the circadian rhythm. So sleeping early, getting good amount of sleep every single day is the most important thing, if you ask me. And then the first thing in the morning, elimination. Removal of toxins from whatever had been created inside the body, whether you like it or not, you did it on purpose or it simply happened, whatever, all the getting rid of those toxins in every form, first thing in the morning, is the next most important thing. And then getting some amount of physical activity, whether they are embedded into your lifestyle, like you walk to your office or you do some gardening work, any physical activity which gives you joy. It shouldn't be, oh my God, I have to do it. Should never happen. It should be, I enjoy doing it. It can be as simple as walking, jogging, or gardening, as I said, dancing, playing a game, or doing a practice of yoga asanas, anything which suits you, your interests, your practicality, at least one hour of something to do with your physical activity. And then what you raised, the most important, is the calm, peaceful mind. Unless the mind is calm and peaceful, even if you have your diet right and lifestyle right, you will not be able to heal yourself completely. Whoever walks to me, you know, comes to me for all these personal consultations to heal themselves, most of it, in just a few weeks, they will be 80%, they will be able to heal themselves. That little 10%, 20% persists, because it takes a long time to get into that space of calm, peaceful mind, because we have trained our mind to be constantly doing something. So towards that, I would say a few important tips could be, don't take more than you can chew in any aspect of your life. Whatever you chew, can chew, take only that much, so that the amount of stress you can create becomes almost nil. The second thing you should look at is not multitasking. We have trained ourselves because we just don't have time. I can do 10 different things I'm capable of doing, but doing that is what creates stress and inflammation inside throughout the body. So taking only one thing at a time, giving space between two tasks, and doing something towards calming down your mind, like say pranayama or relaxation techniques or soothing music, or getting into nature, or doing some kind of meditation, all of this should be a part and parcel of our lifestyle. That is when we can be healthy But if you already are unhealthy, can walk towards health.
Wow. Especially the things that you said about, you know, giving space between two tasks. We are in a modern world where, in fact, you know, we take great pride in, oh, I can multitask. Nuggets of really good advice there. What about water? Because you are told you must drink so much of water. When to drink it, whether to drink it hot or not, whether to mix something in it or not. All of this.
Right. It is very simple. Everywhere, my whole task is to teach people to listen to their self, to their own body. We don't need an expert outside. My job also is not to give them, no, you do this, do this, do this, don't do this, don't do this, don't do this. No, my job is to make them slow down so that they can listen to their body and make the corrections. How to listen to your body. And the question you asked also applies here. Listen to your body. It is not necessary to, you know, have a certain amount of stipulated or measured amount of water. Absolutely no. It is to listen to my body. And body has such beautiful signals. Thirst. Why not listen to it? And of course, having said that, thirst is the last symptom before dehydration. So don't neglect thirst. But as soon as you're thirsty, get good amount. Because people live in an AC environment most of the day. Maybe you don't even get that thirst, right? You miss the symptom of thirst. Another useful thing is to look at the color of urine. If the urine is colorless or straw yellow, you have enough water inside your body. But if it is dark yellow, then you might require some amount of water. Not enough and too much. Both can be dangerous to the body. Even the temperature, listen to the body. If the climate around is cold, your body is asking for something warm. Warm your water and drink. If the seasons are hot, plain water or water put in an earthen pot. So listen to the body is the only thing I would want to say.
All that knowledge is in you. So you just need to listen to it.
And you'll ask for it.
Yes. This I'm asking on behalf of young mothers who struggle to get their children to eat anything at all, forget plant-based food, you know. Are there any tips to get your children to eat fruit, vegetables?
Right. See, first thing is to allow them to listen to their bodies. You know, I remember when I was a child, I was never told it is breakfast time, it is lunch time, it is dinner time, come sit and eat. No, when we were hungry, we would go in and eat. Everything was there and my mother used to serve and we used to eat. That is what is missing today. You know, we are not allowing them to listen to their body and we are training them to eat on clock. Mm-hmm. It's just a clockwork for us. It is just very physical and mechanical. No, it is not so. When we allow them to create that keen hunger, now even fruits taste good. But now if I don't even have hunger and you want me to eat, all the natural things don't taste good to me because they all come with very mild taste, flavors and textures. So I want something with more flavor, more texture, more everything is when only the junk tastes good to me. So you can't expect me to eat at all. It is very important to create this hunger, keen hunger in children. Allow them to listen to their bodies and it'll happen. First 2 days as mothers, it'll hurt us. Oh, my child is not eating, right? But allow it to happen.
I was just about to add to your answer. Lead by example. If your child sees you eating fresh fruit, then they will. I'll give you the example of my mom. She did not like tomatoes and she did not like brinjal at all. But she did not want to pass that on to us. So in front of us, she would eat it. And at this age, when she is 80 something and I'm 50 something, this is when I realized that she doesn't like those two things at all. But in front of her, she never showed it. You know.
That into the child's head. I don't like it. Somebody in the family will have said, I don't like it. Some friends will have said, I don't like it. The teacher will have said, I don't like it. All these I don't like is sitting in the head. Similarly, I like this also about the junk. Something which is coming in the market. I have not seen that advertisement at all. But somebody beside me has seen it, brought it, eaten it, and is enjoying. I see that. So Sangha matters. Where we live, how we live, who we live with, our friends, our playmates, our family, everything adds on to our practices and habits. So what you said matters a lot.
One last final question. And I've seen how shy you are about these things, but I would still insist. Please give us maybe one or two of your success stories. Any success story that's really kept with you?
Yeah. See, every small step my client takes is a success to me. Absolutely. You know, without those small steps, we cannot reach there at all. That small, everyday, gradual steps is what ultimately reaches us to that destination or goal of complete health. So if somebody says, I am able to let go of coffee, yes, that's a success story to me. If somebody says, I am able to eat food, fruits, I hated fruits, I don't like fruits, but I've started to enjoy, that is success to me. If I see a plate, I would have seen their plate. There was absolutely no vegetable at all. Now I see some pieces of vegetables, or they have started enjoying a salad or a vegetable curry. That is a success story to me. You know, if somebody sends me a message, you know, I had not slept for ages. Today I slept well. I feel nice. That is a success to me. And if somebody says, I am aware of what I'm eating, how I'm eating. That is success to me. If somebody sends me a message, I did not have a headache. 15 years, every day I wake up with a headache. Today I don't have a headache. Each one is a success story. But to answer that one question of yours, what is it which you remember? I was running from pillar to post when I understood this fact of we can do wonders with these achara, ahara, vihara and vichara. These are the three basic foundation stones. And putting all of these three together, we can do wonders, is when I realized I wanted to, you know, tell people, I know this, I can do this. Everybody refused or couldn't find any sense in what I was talking. Now, I was running from this hospital to that hospital, from this clinic to that clinic. But one wonderful friend of mine put sense into me. Stop running. Sit down, you sit down and allow people to come to you. And the first lady who I worked with was in the middle ages. She was obese. She had dyslipidemia. She had hypertension. She was having diabetes. She was ready to do everything I wanted her to do. And she did a wonderful job to the dot. 3 months later, she calls me and she's screaming at the other end. She says, yesterday I got my blood work done. Everything is perfectly normal and I've lost 10 plus kgs of weight and I had absolute doubt about what I saw on my report. So I said something is wrong and I went back to another bigger lab and got it done. And today I'm having the report in my hand and it absolutely agrees and it says reversal of diabetes, dyslipidemia, hypertension, everything normal without no medication. Medication had been dropped in every sense, and I feel so lighter, energetic, and I'm jumping with joy. That joy gives me so much joy, contentment, and I feel I'm blessed to have this wonderful job in hand, and I'm thankful to everybody who has made me what I am. It could be my teachers, my parents, gurus, my mentors, my immediate family, especially my husband, who supported and encouraged everything I did, and people like you who recognize my work and take it to more people. I'm absolutely grateful to all of you. And thank you so much for having me here.
This is literally the perfect place and we are going to end here. So thank you so much from the bottom of my heart, Gauriji.
Thank you, Sujata. All the very best in your work. You're doing wonderful work.